We will turn now to our scripture reading for today. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 8 through 15, on page 212 in your pew Bibles. Remember Jesus Christ, raised from the dead, a descendant of David. That is my gospel, for which I suffer hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But the word of God is not chained. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, so that they may also obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is sure. If we have died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. Remind them of this and warn them before God that they are to avoid wrangling over words, which does no good, but only ruins those who are listening. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved by him, a worker who has no need to be ashamed, rightly explaining the word of truth. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our human tendency is to try to get our hands around things, to contain things, to make them easier to understand. And that, in and of itself, is understandable. The world around us is a mystery, something that's unpredictable and can at times be scary. I have to believe that's part of what was going on with the story of the Tower of Babel. We learn from the book of Genesis that people came together under the idea that they could build a city complete with a tower reaching up to God in which everyone would speak the same language, making it, so they thought, easier for everyone to exist together. Our God of diversity, though, seeing the error in their ways, would have nothing to do with that, according to the story. We also learn from the New Testament of a somewhat similar attempt when, according to the book of Matthew, Peter encouraged the building of monuments during the Transfiguration, that time when Moses and Elijah appeared and spoke with Jesus. Peter was trying to wrap his head around what had to be an unbelievable experience for him. And so as he did as many of us would have likely done, he wanted to commemorate it by building monuments. Perhaps his way of taking a selfie and posting it on Facebook or Instagram, maybe. We tend to commemorate things to remember them, trying to wrap our heads around an experience that we want others to remember. We also, in the same vein, try to control our experiences and the world around us by trying to make the unpredictable predictable. It's what the people of China were attempting to do so many years ago with the Great Wall of China. Let's keep out what we do not know, because what lies out there, beyond those walls, it's different. It's a mystery, and who knows what that mystery might mean? Like with the Tower of Babel, and with the Berlin Wall, an attempt to keep the people of East Germany there in East Germany, and with the call to keep out the other. That's happening today, with all the attention being directed by many towards our nation's southern border. Much of religion today is caught up with similar tendencies: to keep certain people out, to make a black and white world out of what is at best a gray world, and trying to take the mystery out of what is at best a mysterious world that we live in. But as we read in our scripture passage for today, God's power is so powerful, It cannot be contained. This notion is spread throughout this passage, as well as the book of 2 Timothy, and as well as throughout the Bible as a whole. But we find the idea particularly in verse 9, where Paul says that he suffers hardship, even to the point of being chained like a criminal. But, he says, the word of God is not chained. I'm reminded of a phrase coined by the theologian Elizabeth Johnson. Divine incomprehensibility. Now, that's a lot of syllables, and that's a mouthful, especially for someone who grew up in Texas. But this phrase has intrigued me ever since I first read it in a book of Johnson's. The idea is that God and God's ways are so higher, so vast, so beyond our comprehension, whatever you want to call it, that as humans, we can, at best, try to identify what God's ways and God's ways means for each of us in our own lives. Therefore, we need to be careful with anyone who claims to speak directly for God or have some sort of direct knowledge of God's thoughts on today's affairs and goings on. Paul goes on to speak about this, in fact, in the verses that come after our passage for today. One of the many things I love about your denomination, the Presbyterian Church in the United States of America, is the importance that is placed upon identifying what you believe and why you believe it. That your beliefs be rational, and that you be willing to discuss and to learn from others. These are wonderful things. Not only are these things important, identifying what we believe in rational ways and being open to dialogue, they are our responsibilities, particularly when we come across ways that others, as Paul said, are trying to chain the unchainable. Paul is imploring us to not let that happen, to, in essence, defend the divine incomprehensibility of God's love. So we must remember that God's power and God's love, it's unchainable when we hear it trying to be chained. We could spend all afternoon listing out ways or attempts of ways that God's love has tried to be chained and ways that God's love is currently trying to be chained. But I'm guessing that you have other things to get to besides spending your day with me, as great as that might be. Suffice it to say that the more we're cognizant of this, the more we're on the lookout for God's love trying to be chained, the more we see it. One way that seems to be particularly popular now to try to do this is to label things as quote-unquote Christian. While I do believe that many times such efforts come from a very admirable place, the end result is often dangerous at best. There are large-scale efforts at this, such as claiming that certain nations are a quote-unquote Christian nation, which only serves to confuse citizens of different or no religions, and is a poor effort at being a witness of God's love for all to the world. There's also smaller scale efforts of using the label Christian. Have you ever hired someone to do work that pushed their business as being a Christian business, only to be left with sloppy work or to be dealt with in unchristlike ways? I sure hope that's not happened to you, but it's, of course, by no means unheard of. I'm reminded of a pastor in a town that I used to live in many years ago who was well known there in that town and beyond. And he would come to lunch after church services at a certain restaurant there in town, and he would leave what's known as a tract. a booklet that's sort of a simplistic way of viewing salvation. He would leave that as the tip for a large bill. You know, he would have 8 to 10 to 15 people with him. That was the tip. Not exactly, I would imagine, how those waiters and waitresses were probably hoping to receive God's love that day. Or have you seen a piece of merchandise labeled as Christian, only to find out that you don't exactly or completely agree with whatever it is the product is trying to market and to sell? The notion of labeling something, whether it's a t-shirt or a nation, as Christian, not so subtly indicates that whatever is at hand is the only way to be Christian. But we simply cannot chain the unchainable. So we do well to take heart the words of encouragement from today's passage, to cling to that which is helpful, to that which is enlightening, to that which draws us closer to the unchained power of God's love. This can happen in all sorts of different ways. For you, perhaps, it's maybe daily Bible readings along with prayer and devotional times, something that's likely been inspirational and encouraging you for many, many years. For some, particular authors speak to them in ways that helps them see the unchained power of God in new and different ways. For others, helping people in need, whether it's down the road here at a facility offering others aid, across town helping those dealing with immigration and citizenship difficulties, or sitting with a friend experiencing grief, allows them to experience God's unchainable love in fresh, encouraging ways. I would like to offer another method this morning, one that you likely already do anyway, but let's think about it together. Being open to the thoughts of others. This can take many different forms, some of which we've already thought about this morning. For me, this happened in a doctor's office years ago, for one example. See, at the age of 16, I was convinced that I needed to be in vocational ministry. And I've spent much of my life towards that pursuit, through college, seminary, and a number of positions on church staffs. And while these were, for the most part, worthwhile, meaningful, and enjoyable experiences, I reached a point myself in my last church ministry experience when it became clear to me that my calling was leading me into something else, into something different. At the same time, though, I believe that God had called me to enter into and to be a vocational church minister. So I reasoned at the time that to not do that, to not be a church vocational minister, would somehow be disappointing to God. Well, after the second panic attack that I had experienced as a part of the anxiety that had manifested in my life due to the circumstances surrounding that particular church and my experience there, I found myself sitting in a doctor's office, unsure of what my body was experiencing and completely uncertain of what I could do to better my situation. During the course of my conversation with the doctor, during which I learned that I had been experiencing panic attacks and that my anxiety was at a significantly high level, she asked what probably seemed to her to be a simple question. But it's one that brought everything to the surface for me, and it completely changed my life. She said, "Can you see your situation getting better?" My answer and my response was an epiphany, an aha moment. I told her, "No, this will not get better. In fact, it's only likely to get worse." Now, she, of course, had no roadmap for what to do about it. And it would be months before it became clear to me as to what I needed to do with not only that job, but my career path as a whole. But by being open to the thoughts of someone else, I found something that drew me closer to the unchained love and power of God. To be honest, I did not really have much of a choice. I was in such a bad way at that time that I could not help but take her question seriously and to be open to what she had to offer. And for us, we are often in that same space in which we do not know where to go or what to do. We do not know up from down, left from right. And thanks be to God for the people who were there for us in those moments. And for us, when we can be there for others in similar times. Much of life, though, takes place in times of less acute stress or grief. Times when we might not be quite as open to listening to others. But being open to others, even if we completely disagree with them and leave the conversation shaking our heads, that can draw us closer to the unchained love of God. Because other people have a different perspective, one that we're often not able to see. Whether that person is a close family member, a doctor, a counselor, or someone we're having a difficult conversation with on Facebook. So this week, as you go about trying to grow closer to the unchained love of God, may you remember stories like the Tower of Babel that show the human yet error-filled tendency in us all to try to make the unpredictable predictable. May you resist the various people and entities claiming to speak for God in today's world. And may you cling to that which is helpful, to that which is enlightening, to that which draws you closer to the unchained power of God's love.